I have a message that's entitled An Old Familiar Story, and it's almost all text because I just wanted to keep it as concise and as tight as possible. It's from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 18, and it goes like this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea in Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, and the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven. On earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests." And when the angels left and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning him that they had been told about and the child, and all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So this is an old familiar story, and I thought about it, and there's three things I want to highlight. Number one, God is always working out His plan. Number two, a Savior has been born to you, and He's the Messiah, the Lord. And number three, all who heard it were amazed. So the first one of the old familiar story is God's always at work, working out His plan. So how do you think about God working out His plan for mankind and creation? Do you have a mindset that's kind of hands-on, where God is an active, integrated manager with the angels, delegating and doing things every day? I live in a reality like that, that I think the seven spirits of God are sent to do things. I believe the angels of the four winds are sent to do specific things. And when Haggai writes today that God says, "Well, didn't you notice that I didn't send any rain in your rain gauge? Didn't you notice that your crops were..." I think He is an active, integrated manager and does that consistently. Now, there's another train of thought, and I watched a documentary on Abe Lincoln the other day, and Abe Lincoln had the opinion that God created the whole universe, set it all in motion, and then He just has a hands-off. It's kind of like He put it all on a DVD, put it into a cosmic player, hit the play, and then He just sits down and watches the show. How do you think about it? How do you think about God working His plan? So, God uses ordinary people is A on your outline. This is something that's common to both. God will use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Ordinary is your first blank. Joseph, Mary, the shepherds in our story, everybody in our story was just ordinary people that God used to do extraordinary things. So, when you think about a Roman census, Caesar ordered this census, think about money and men. That's what it was all about. From the government side, they were after tax money and soldiers. And there was a really good conscription deal in those days. If you were an able-bodied male and you were able to serve or willing to serve in the Roman army, you could get a significant tax break for you and for your parents. And the better off you were, the better off the break was. I mean, if you could come in as an officer, you were educated, trained, it was a better tax break for your family. But that's what the census was all about from the Roman side, tax money and men. Now, thinking about it from God's side, God's perfect plan according to bringing His Son into the world was what took place. I believe God orchestrated this census to get Joseph and Mary in the right place at the right time. In reality, God's in control of the world. In all times and in all places, He works His will. That's the truth. Now, however you think He does it, that's up to you, and there's lots of different ideas on how that takes place. But He's really in control. None of this is spinning out of control. No matter what people say, God's still in control. He's still on the throne, and His Son's coming back pretty quick. Now, B, we cannot stay where we are and go with God. You can't stay where you are and go with God. The reality is you must change in order to go with God. God's people in all times and in all places leave their comfort zone to go with Him. That's the way it is. Mary and Joseph went to a different town. The shepherds went to a different place. God is always about moving His people to do His work. When His Son left, He says, go make disciples. Don't sit and wait for them to come to you. Go make them. So He's going to always challenge you to get out of your comfort zone. When your preacher puts a Bible reading in front of you and you say, oh my goodness, He wants me to read the Old Testament. Oh, my goodness, He wants me to read Psalms. Oh, my goodness, He wants to read the New Testament in the same day. Oh, I'm just not comfortable with that. Well, of course not. You can't stay where you are and move forward with God. You've got to be stretched. Now, on the human side, Mary and Joseph were both descendants of David. The Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Now, this has been told for a long time, that David's descendant, the ruler who will be there forever, would be born in Bethlehem. God said that back in Daniel. God said that in different times in the Old Testament, and they were all fulfilled. Now, in your life, like Joseph's and Mary's, each day we're going to have faith and trust that God is in charge. Every day, you and I, as we go with God, we're going to have to live like Joseph and Mary. We're going to have to go into uncomfortable situations and be challenged out of our comfort zone. If you're not, then you're probably really not moving with God. So, second point on your outline, a Savior has been born to you, the Messiah, the Lord. This tiny, helpless baby lived an amazing life, died, ascended into heaven, and will return to earth as the King of all kings. Now, Christ will rule the world. He will judge all people according to the decisions they make about Him. That's true. This little baby grew up, lived a perfect, sinless life, died a sacrificial death for you and I, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of God, and really quick is coming back. He's coming back soon. And if you look at the Jewish calendar and the time that He is scheduled to come, it's not too far down the calendar, folks. Now, when He comes back, it's too late to make decisions about Him, His kingdom, His lordship, His messiahship, His saviorship. It's too late when He shows up. You've got to make those decisions now. And I'm about believing God gives you the chance today, this week, this new year, to make decisions about Him. Now, when does human life start? Human is your blank for A. When do you believe human life starts? I'm planning a video for the Sanctity of Life Sunday that's just a couple weeks away in January. When do you believe life starts? When you ask Jesus in your heart is when this eternal life starts of Jesus coming in. When did Jesus' life start? Jesus always has been. He always is, He always was, He always will be. Now, human life, I believe, starts at conception. Contrary to what our political people are saying, that you can have an abortion up till late on in your pregnancy. Physical birth starts at conception. Jesus' spiritual birth always was. So this spiritual life starts when you accept Him into your life. When you humble yourself and allow this life of Jesus to enter into your life, your spirit becomes one with God's spirit. Jesus is God. He was born into a human body so that He could live this incredible life free from sin, so that He could be the perfect sacrifice for all sin and all mankind. Then after His death for our sin, He was resurrected from the dead, and He offers eternal life with His Father and the Holy Spirit. So you could live with the three of them forever. So do you still picture Jesus as this cute little baby in the manger? Or do you picture Him as Lord in your life and the soon coming King? Now, will you let Jesus grow up in your life? Will you let Him grow more? Will you make decisions for Him and for His kingdom to allow Him to grow more? Is Jesus your Messiah, your Savior? Have you made those steps of faith towards that? Do you look forward to meeting with Him every day in prayer and His Word? I like getting up before all the girls do at my house and being alone in the dark and sitting there with Him. And I like sitting down with my cup of coffee and reading the Bible. And I'm looking forward to having more of a plan for that next year. But do you look forward to that? Do you actually relate with Him? We talk about getting together for family on Christmas, and everybody looks forward to, we get to see everybody every day. Do you look forward to hooking up with Him? Now, see, the glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests. So how does one become one of those on whom His favor rests? How do you become one of those? By God's grace. Through putting humble faith in the one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And you do that on a very personal basis with Him. Now, the third point on your outline, all who heard it were amazed. So, are you amazed? Are you, is your blank, amazed by the story? Or has it just become an old familiar story? Are you still amazed by it? That God of all eternity would come to save mankind? Jewish tradition said that these shepherds are the ones who supplied the lambs for the temple sacrifices to be performed for the forgiving of sins. So these were the spotless lambs that these shepherds were watching. Now, if you remember, the Jewish tradition does not say December 25th was the day Jesus was born, but Nisan 15, which is in March or April. That 25th is actually the Roman Catholic date, not the Jewish date. And if you ever wonder, is God going to work by a Gentile calendar or a Jewish calendar, don't even consider the Gentile calendar. He's going to do everything in line with His promises to Abraham and to the Jews. So these shepherds were the ones that were staging these lambs to be ready for Passover. These are the lambs that are on their way to Jerusalem, and they're just staged, so to speak, in the lush pasture lands of Bethlehem where David was a shepherd. The angels invited these shepherds to meet the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When you look at it from a Jewish perspective, it changes a lot. These are the guys who are herding the lambs that are going to be sacrificed, and these are the ones that are brought to visit the Lamb of God. So, be on your outline. Have you discovered the Lord? so wonderful that you can't help sharing him and your joy with your family and friends. Have you discovered him? Have you rediscovered him, maybe? See, the greatest event in all history is that the Messiah has been born. And the good news is that Jesus comes to all who would humble themselves enough to accept him. If you haven't accepted him as Messiah, as Savior, then humble yourself before him and accept him as your Savior and King in this Christmas season.